This is Victory House.
We've been talking about greatness unleashed. I want you to say loud and clear as if you know that it is you that I'm talking about. Say, I'm a great man. If you're a woman, say you're a great woman. Say, I'm a great man. Say, before I leave this earth, my greatness will find expression in the name of Jesus. Greatness is something that God has in store for all of us. Yesterday, some of us had the news that the country lost Senator McCain. And I tried to pay attention to some of the eulogies that people were giving. And they were celebrating his greatness. And I noticed that most of the thing they were celebrating was his service. Many people didn't know. I have not, maybe somebody has said that he has a very nice house, or they like the shoe he was wearing. Maybe somebody will say that. But I've had quite a number of people talk about his service to the nation, his service as a military person, his service as a senator, but it is a service that they are celebrating. So when you talk about greatness, greatness is borderline, where greatness finds expression majorly is in service. And so this morning, I want to continue in our discussion that we have been having about unleashing greatness. And I want to talk about what I call the people business. Look at your neighbor, say the people business. Tell another neighbor, say we are in the people business. Find the neighbor behind your neighbor and tell them we are in the people business. Oh yeah, every one of us, we are in the people business. One of the things you and I need to understand is that we are sons, we are daughters of God. The man of God the other time was talking about the fact that as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. And that should be something that thrills you. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, to as many as have received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. That's a big deal. It's a big deal because religion tries to get to God, but through Jesus, God tries to get to us. God is chasing after us. And so that's why we are not slaves. We are not just people that are just subservient people. We are sons of God. We are sons of the category of Christ. That's a big deal. It's a big deal. It takes power to become the sons of God. So when you receive Jesus into your life, when you have given your life to Jesus, you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. And that's shouting ground. Because you see, there are some things that happen in a father-son relationship. My son does not need to impress me. You know, I mean, I want him to do well. But there are things I will do because he's my son. And my son does not need to say, Daddy, I need a new shoe. And because I need a new shoe, I'm going to start doing some good things so that I will get the new shoe. Sometimes, even before he knows that he needs a new shoe, I buy him a new shoe. Even when he doesn't know that the shoe that he's wearing is not good, when I see that it's not good, I buy him a new one. Because no, I want him to look good, not only for himself, I also want him to look good because of me. Because if he looks good, it tells on me. If he looks bad, it tells on me. So if you look good, it's good on God. If you look bad, it doesn't look good on God. So I want you to understand that God is all about your good because you are his son, because you are his daughter. I want you to talk to yourself, say, I'm a son of God. If you are a daughter, say you are a daughter of God too. So say, let's say it again. Say, I'm a son of God. But we are not just sons. We are sons that serve. We are sons that do things for our Father. We don't serve so that we will get his goodness. We don't serve so that we will impress him or dazzle him or do something that, oh, he will say, wow, because you did that. I mean, yeah, we can do stuff and then God is pleased with it. But really, we are sons, and because of the love that this Father has shown us, we serve. We serve him. And the crust of greatness is when we know how to serve. So we are servants. And when we talk about servant, a servant, by servanthood, we are talking about being a blessing. The command on our lives, that's how we started this whole journey last week, is that you will be blessed and you will be a blessing. The reason God told Abraham that I'm going to bless you was not because God just wanted to bless Abraham. God wanted that blessing to continue. He wanted to share the blessing. I personally believe anybody that goes ahead of other people, you are going ahead not just because of yourself, you are also going ahead because of other people. If you are a father, you are going ahead, you came before your child because God wants you to do some things that your children will enjoy. Can I get an amen to that? If you find yourself in a job, if you find yourself in a church, you started attending that church before that some people attended the job. God wanted you to be ahead of those guys so that when some other people come behind you, you'll be a blessing unto them. Can I get an amen to that too? So God wants us to understand that we are children, we are sons, but sons that serve. But sons that give their service. Now let me just give some definition of who a servant is. Who is a servant? A servant is someone who provides services. Who provides services? You can provide the services within what you call a religious context, but you can also provide it outside of the religious context. You know that people that work in public service, they call them civil servants, right? Because they are providing services. If you work in church too, you are a servant because you are providing services. The people that sang to us this morning, that led us in worship, they made us to worship God and they provided services. The keyboardist, the drummer, the guy on the bass, they were giving and providing services. When you walked in, somebody greeted you, told you where to sit, that person is providing services. So a servant is somebody that provides services. Pastor E is a service provider too. This morning I'm providing a service with the word of my mouth. Amen. So a servant is someone who provides services. Who is a servant? A servant is someone who performs functions for another person. A servant is someone who is carrying out the agenda of somebody else. Ladies and gentlemen, on this earth, there is somebody's agenda that we are carrying out. Whether you are doing it in church or not, we are carrying out the agenda of heaven. So we are servants everywhere we find ourselves because the agenda that we are carrying out eventually, ultimately, is the agenda of heaven. If you are doing anything, even at work, sometimes people look at their work outside of church and sometimes they don't see it as serving God. I'll get to that. But you see, everywhere you are providing services for somebody else. In some cases, the person, somebody else may be only God, but some other times it may involve people. You may be providing services such that you are helping to enhance another person's service. For example, there are people behind the stage here or behind this building in the back standing on in front of some systems and making sure that the service I am provided this morning, I am able to provide it. So they are providing services for me so that I can provide service for you. So sometimes a servant is someone who functions for another person. Who is a servant? To be a servant is to be used by a higher power. To be used by a higher power. To make yourself useful. To make yourself available. And you see, the more used you are, the more useful you are. The more used you are, the more useful you are. Because sometimes some people will say, well, I've been saying, God use me, God use me. And in that church, they are using me. But that's the answer to your prayer. Amen. I thought you were saying, God, please, if you can use anything, Lord, please use me. And then now you are crying and saying they are using you. But it's answer to prayer. God just answered the prayer and then people are, higher powers are using you. So the more used you are, the more useful you become. The less used you are, the more useless you become. Oh yeah. There is a law of use or lose. There are many things that some people started out able to do. And after a while, because they didn't use it, they didn't practice it, they start to forget it. I learned German some years ago. And I was in Germany, I think about 2 years ago. And then, you know, usually when I see anything German, I'll just tell the person, I can speak Deutsch. I will say, it's kind of Deutsch expression. I'll just, that one, I can't forget that one. Then the person will now say like 2 or 3 sentences. After that, I'll just use English. I'll say, excuse me. Finish, little, poquito. Poquito is what language now? Spanish. You see, I've mixed everything up. You know, so I'll tell the person a little. But several years ago, it wasn't a little. I learned Deutsch, I learned German to the point where I used to teach. I used to teach. In fact, my teachers, when they have students that are having problems, they will refer them to me. And I will charge them, and then I will go to their house, I will teach them in their house and things like that. I used to teach. But now, because there is nowhere to speak Deutsch, there's nobody to speak Deutsch to, there's nothing I want to use the Deutsch for, I have started forgetting it. So because I didn't use it, I'm seemingly losing it. Sometimes I convince myself that maybe one day I'll go and preach in German. Maybe. Somebody said amen. Maybe, but you get the point. If you want to remain relevant, if you want to remain useful, never get to a place where you are not serving. Never get to a point where you are not the one sitting on the altar. You are not the one that everybody is serving. You know, sometimes the higher we go in life, the more tendency for you not to serve. The more tendency for you not to do things. You know, sometimes you are the pastor or you are the leader of an organization. Somebody carries your bag. Somebody carries your leg. Somebody carries your hand. And you are useless. I heard the general overseer say one time. He said in his house, nobody... He said because at the level of where he has been in ministry and life, he has a lot of people that can help him. He said, but there are things people don't do for him. He said there are some of his clothes that he washes by himself. And he washes it for his wife. The man is 74, 75. You don't know his age? 76? No, he's not 78. 70 something. Right? He's still washing with his hand his underwear and his wife's own. He said because he understands that if you do not use your hands, very soon that hand will be useless. I mean, you can argue it and say, well, just throw it in the washing machine. You can do all of that, and I don't really know the context of that washing. Maybe it's washing in washing machine. I don't know. But the idea is this. At that level, you think everything is being done for them. But consciously, because he understands that if you want to remain relevant and useful, you must make time and space to serve. Even if there are things that people have started doing for you, find other things that you can do, that only you can do. If there are things that after a while you were doing this thing, people are doing it for you, if there are other things that they can do or that they can do that you can help them with, still serve them. Because the more useful you are, the better you are. So a servant is somebody that is useful or that is used by a higher power. Who is a servant? A servant is somebody that meets the need of another person. A servant is somebody that meets the need of another person. So with some of these definitions, you see that serving is not just something we are talking about in church. Even at home, I can be a servant to my wife. I can be a servant to my children, meeting their need. Because sometimes, parents, you don't understand that you also have to meet the needs of your children. And the need is not only providing for them. Some of this need is also availability and, you know, getting involved with them. Your wife has needs. Your husband has needs. Your siblings have needs. And if you meet their need, you are serving them. If you meet their need, you are a servant. You don't serve the way you want to because it is not your work. So usually you try to find the need and you serve to supply that need because you have identified the need and you know that that person needs it. So you serve based on the need. Because sometimes some people will say, well, I want to serve and I want to serve on my own terms. If you are serving another person, if you are serving an institution, if you are serving an organization, you need to understand that there is a need that you should be feeling and you should serve based on the need, not just based on how you feel or what you want to do. So, for example, if my wife needs a massage, if it's a need, amen. Because some husband will be nudging, and some wife will be nudging their husband and say, you hear now, massage is a need. I say if it is a need. And I want to massage her. I have to do it the way she wants it or where she wants me to massage. I can't say, oh, because you want massage and I'm serving you, I'm going to massage your palms. And she says, it's my back that is hurting me. And you say, no, massage is massage. If just give me your palm, and then I'll just massage it, and it will apply to the back. You can even touch your back with your hand after I finish with your hand. No. If you want to serve, and serve in a way that will be meaningful, I have to serve based on the need. I have to serve based on this. So this is who a servant is. A servant is somebody who provides services, is someone who functions for another person, is someone that is used by a higher power, and is someone that is meeting the needs of others. Now, the question will arise that who do we really, really serve? Who do we really serve? Some people will say, I just serve God. And it's true. Who do we really, 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 really serve? I saw this definition earlier in the week and I thought it was very nice. It says, service stroke ministry happens. And you need to understand ministry in this place is help, not ministry as in I'm in church. Service happens when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. Services happen when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels, through love, under love, and the main aim is to give glory to God. Let's read this scripture. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And we'll read from verse 40. Matthew 25, verse 40. Okay. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. 41. So it's Matthew 25, 40 to 45. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? Verse 25, he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of this, you did not do for me. So effectively here, Jesus is saying, serving God is serving people. We serve God by serving people. Service to humanity is service to divinity. It is impossible to serve divinity. It is impossible to serve God and not serve people. It is impossible to say, my service is to God. My service, I just render my service unto God. But you have not seen God. You have seen people. And many times that is where we miss it, because the object of service is people. The unleashing true greatness is a people business. It has to do with human beings. It has to do with people who have flesh and blood. Some of us would like it to just deal with God. We like to just deal with God because sometimes it looks like God is easier to deal with, right? You just raise up your hand to him and say, Father, I bless you. And that's it. But when it has to have to do with people, people can be complicated. I get it. People can be complex. People can be all over the place, all over the map. People can be with you physically, but they are not with you physically. People can say, go, and they are saying, come. People can stand with you, and they are saying, go, 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 go. But they are not going with you. Remember Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered that it is the same week? The same week when he rode into Jerusalem was the same week he was crucified by the same people. The Bible said when he rode into Jerusalem, it was like a campaign style stuff. How many people were here when the Cubs won the Super Bowl? Is it Super Bowl they win? Excuse me. Oh, Lord. I just gave myself out now. I'm not a sports guy. World Series. Okay, okay. You know, okay, all right. World Series. You know, sometimes some of us think when you say world, you should be talking of the whole world. So maybe that's, I'm just kidding. So they won the World Series and they went all over Chicago. It was a big deal. There was traffic. Just picture that in your mind. That was what was happening when Jesus came into Jerusalem. The Bible said they laid palms on the ground. They were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were celebrating him. Wow! Mighty man of God. Look at what you are doing. Look at the beautiful things that is happening. Amazing. Same week, the people that shouted Hosanna, same week, they said crucify him. Same people. So sometimes when you know the dynamics of human beings, you say, excuse me, sir. I want to serve, but I just want to serve God. I want to serve, but you see these people part of things. Let's just leave it out of it. You know, I was hearing somebody joke the other day. He said, I like my job, but it's just the people I don't like. But your job is the people. The job is the people. Yeah, your boss is part of the job. You didn't know that it is the job. Your boss is the job. Your church members, they are the job. That's it. That is service. That is church. Church is not this, right? Church is not that. Church is not singing alone. Church is these people. It's the people. It's like Moses said, the people you gave me. Yes, that's the ministry. Ministry is people. Because the greatest investment God has on this earth is the people. God can do everything, but God has chosen to do things through people. So if you and I will experience greatness, if greatness will be unleashed, we will have to deal with people. We'll have to work with people. It's people, this scripture that we just read, Matthew chapter 25. The Bible said, the people that were in prison, you have to deal with them. The people that are hungry, you have to deal with them. Because in dealing with all these people, you are dealing with me. And sometimes it can be difficult, I understand. Sometimes you don't feel like it, I understand. Sometimes you want to deal with everything else but the people part of it. But you see, that's where greatness is. Because it is service that is the foundation of greatness. And we serve God by serving people. I have also found out this, that the greatest pains that you can get in life, you won't get it from things. You won't get it from hitting your leg on things. You know, when Jesus was groaning in the spirit, I don't know if it was only the pains that he felt from the nails. Don't you think it could have been the pains that he felt from the betrayal? The Bible says everybody left him. Everybody left him. So being on the cross, you have been around for 3.5 years. These people, you fed them. You remember? These people, you fed them. You show all kinds of miracles. You took them around. Every disciple that Jesus had, those 12 guys, they were pretty practically living with him. They didn't have to pay their own bills. Jesus was responsible for it. You remember there was even a time that they were owing taxes. Jesus, he sorted them out. And imagine he sorted everybody out and nobody is there to sort him out. I mean, 12 guys. I know the Roman soldiers were big deal people. But what about Peter that said, I'm going to die for you? Where was Peter? Where was Peter? So I want to believe that the pain that Jesus felt on that cross may not have been from the nails alone. I think it must have been the people pain, the hurts, the things that stab him, the things that pained him, because those people were close to him. I've discovered that the greatest pains we even feel in this whole people business are from the people that are close to you. If everybody in this room says anything about me, maybe it may not be hurtful. But if my wife or my son does something, it will hurt me very deep. But that's still the business. That is where greatness is. It is in that dirty, messy business of people that greatness finds itself. So we shouldn't excuse ourselves from the people business. Look at your neighbor, say, don't excuse yourself from the people business. So when we know all these things are possible, that when I deal with people, I can be hurt. When I deal with people, it can be big deal. When I deal with people, it can mess me up in the ways that I don't want to. So what should I do? Do what Jesus did. You need to serve people by serving people with love. You need to serve people by serving people with love. We're not going to be able to serve people at work, at home, anywhere without love. Now, and I'm not talking about love, about feelings. I'm not talking about love, about, well, I love you, love you, love you, love you. No, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about love as a commitment. I am committed to show love. That was how Jesus was able to serve, sir. That was how Jesus was able to be on that cross and die. And to show you that he was dying and doing that by love, the Bible said he told God, he said, forgive them for they know not what they are doing. Are you kidding me? If me, I'm on that cross, I'll say these people, they know what they are doing. Oh. Fire! And you know he could do it. He could do it. He had the power to do it. You know, one of the thieves was saying, excuse me, are you for real? I thought you were the one doing all these miracles and all of that. Why are you on this tree? You should just command angels to come down and come and do stuff and all of that kind of thing. You know, Jesus didn't respond. It is the other thief that responded. Jesus was like, this guy doesn't get it. And the other thief responded, we are serving our own term. We are punished for what we have done. This man is an innocent man. And the guy now said to Jesus, excuse me, Jesus, I know you'll be in paradise tonight. Make sure I am there with you. And even with all that agony, you know, Jesus should have just said, paradise, call. Is that English? Sorry. Or if you just say paradise, you don't see paradox. You know, Jesus could have just said, you must be kidding me. On this cross, and you are talking about you that you committed sin, you did all this, you are a thief. You are supposed, this is just recompense for you. And Jesus said, tonight, you will be with me in paradise. Even on that tree, he was still relating with love. He was still relating with love. Look at this scripture, and I'm going to be putting it together with this. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 to 2. And the reason why I'm mentioning love is that I'm going to make a call for you this morning to serve God, to serve people. And I want to just warn you before you decide to take up that call. People will be people. That's why I'm telling you, you have to start with love. People will be people. You imagine that you are the usher. You are telling people to sit down. And you are standing when other people are sitting down. And somebody is still saying, no, I want to sit in the back. And you are like, excuse me, are you thinking, am I joking here? Sometimes you may want to put the guy back and say, excuse me, let's know ourselves here, if not for church. I was listening to one joker the other day. He said, you will know married ushers and unmarried ushers. He said, married ushers, when they see you, they just say. Because unmarried ushers will come, how are you doing? Because they don't know who they will usher in. Maybe it's their husband. But you see, whatever job we do, we're going to meet with people. And some of the people are not even the people you think will be the people that will hurt you. It may even be the person you think will not hurt you. But they'll be hurt. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2. He now says this. We want to run this race. We want to serve. We want greatness to find expression because we have greatness all around us. We have a great company. We have great witnesses. We have this great cloud of witnesses that are telling us we can do it. That are telling us that we can be the best that God has created us to be. But you need to understand that if you don't focus on the right thing, you'll be distracted. Now said, this is where your focus should be. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So that means Jesus was shamed. That means Jesus was embarrassed. That means people did things to Jesus that were derogatory. That means if Jesus was in a department, it seemed that the department head didn't like him. Amen. I know sometimes we've been there. Oh, you just feel like anything I do, my boss is almost like she's rubbishing my work. She's doing everything to not make me look good. Welcome to the club. Jesus had the same thing. Jesus had that shame. Jesus had that issue. Jesus had that problem. It's the whole people business. But the Bible said he was looking up to something else. And that's what we have to be doing, ladies and gentlemen. We have to look to Jesus, who has already finished it, who has already run the race, who has already done it well, who is the perfect example. So our focus should be on Jesus everywhere we are serving. If we don't do that, if we don't serve by focusing on Jesus and loving the way Jesus loves, we'll be distracted. We'll be under pressure. We will feel like, wow, this is not the place I should be. These are not the people that I should serve. These are not the people that I should give my life for. These are not the people that I should do anything for. Because the same person I want to serve is the same person that wants to hurt me. The same person that I want to give my, that I want to die for is the person that wants to kill me. Because that was what happened to Jesus. But Jesus ignored that because he understood that people business is still the route to greatness. People, serving people is still the route to greatness. So you are not going to excuse yourself from service because of people. I was talking to a guy the other day. I don't know if he's in church today. Probably he's in church. And he was telling me that he has been hurt. I have not heard the fullness of his story, but I can imagine the hurt will not come from computer. How many people can imagine that? The hurt will not come from computer. It's probably a human being. It's probably something somebody did or didn't do. So, and that hurt has limited the person. That hurt has not allowed the person to find full expression because the person remembers what happened. We have all been there. You do things with the integrity of your heart. You do things with all of your heart. You do, and it's not appreciated. You have been there. I have been there. You have been there. And we will soon be there again. But how do we respond to all of that? We respond by love. We respond by love. Oh, that's, Pastor E, that's weak. That's weak. That's not reasonable. That's not realistic. You are making this thing sound too simple. Yeah, I know I'm making it to sound too simple. But that's the way in. That's the way up. That's the way to greatness. That's the Jesus way. That's how Jesus did it. That's how Jesus was able to sacrifice his life for you. He did not pay too much attention to all those shame. He ignored it. And you are going to have to ignore it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, everybody in this church, if you've been coming for more than one Sunday, you should be doing something for God. Here. You should be serving his people. You should be serving his people that are hungry. You should be serving his people that are homeless. You should be serving his people in whatever capacity you can or the other. But I want to warn you that as you start to serve his people, as you start to do things for his people, you will run into issues with his people. This morning, I started listening again to the Bible from the beginning. And I discovered again that from the beginning, we've started having people issues. After Adam and Eve sinned, Cain and Abel, they were the two major guys on earth after Adam and Eve. Cain and Abel, just before you knew what was going on, Cain was angry. And the reason he was even angry, you don't even know. If you can't really quantify, because he was angry that Abel's offering was accepted. But was it Abel that accepted his own offering? Why will he be angry with Abel for what God is responsible for? It should be God that should be angry with. But, you know, that's how usually these people business works. Sometimes the source of the anger, the source of the trouble, it may not even be you. And that's why you are so angry and you are so pained that I'm not even the one that did the problem. I'm not even the one that is the issue. I'm not even the one that is the problem. Why is everything against me? Welcome to the club. Welcome to this people business. But the people business is still the route to greatness. We can't give up on people. We can't give up on serving people. We can't give up on laying our lives for people. Yes, you will be hurt. Yes, things will happen that you don't like, but you got to move on. That's what Jesus did. And he did it because he loved. He threw his heart into it. He threw his love into it. I'll be rounding up with this. I read a book this week called The Carpenter. Beautiful book. Everybody, some of the guys around me, I've been telling them about it. Carpenter, beautiful people, beautiful book. And the premise of this book was that there was a carpenter that found somebody that was dying. They found the guy, maybe a car ran into the guy, and he saw him on the street. He was dying. And he rushed this man to the hospital. When he took the man to the hospital, he told them what happened, and then he left his card for this man to pick up and told them that the man can call him when he gains consciousness.
And on the card was written carpenter. And then he put his phone number there. So when this guy wakes up from the dead or the coma, this guy calls the carpenter. When he first saw the card, he felt like, who is this carpenter that is bad at marketing? He does not know how to even advertise his business well. So he calls this guy, and then he reaches his voicemail. The guy's voicemail says this: "Hi, thank you for calling me. I know you have called me as the carpenter. I am busy doing job for somebody else, and I am putting all my heart into it, so I don't have time to pick up your call. Please know that I will not call you back, because I will be so busy that once I finish with this other person's job, I will jump to the next job with all my heart. But if you need to see me or you want to give me a business, I am at a local restaurant. Meet me there at so-so time. I'm always there every day." And he ends the call. The guy that calls him feels like, this is the most stupid carpenter ever. How will you tell people that you will not pick their call from your phone and you are a business guy? So the guy was curious. I need to meet this carpenter and tell him that, thank you for saving my life, but you don't know how to do business. You are so bad at marketing and all of that. So he said the first time he met the carpenter, he saw that the guy was calm, cool, collected, and he saw a lot of people trying to see him. And then when he started to talk, the carpenter now told him, he said, every job that I do, I see it as a craft. I see it as a way of putting everything that God has endowed me into. So I don't see my job as I'm fixing furniture. I see it as I'm fulfilling purpose. So every time I fix something for people, I put everything into it. I put more than what they want into it. I put all into it. So the guy said, okay. And they exchanged pleasantry and they went. Time went by. This guy saw the carpenter many, 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 many times. And the carpenter started unveiling to him how he got to where he got to. And how putting his whole heart into his job does not only guarantee business for him, but he has too much more than he can do. Because everybody that he works for, they don't only pay him more, they become his friend. Because this carpenter will now later go ahead and tell them that, look, every job I do, I approach it with love. I approach the furniture as if I love the furniture. I do it with love. I put my love into it. And ladies and gentlemen, that same advice that the carpenter was giving this man that was injured is that advice I want to give you this morning. We are going to put our heart into everything that God has called us to do. We are going to put our heart and mind into the services that and opportunities that God will give unto us in this church, outside this church. You are going to put everything into it so that by the time you are finished, you have put everything, 100%. Because you see, sometimes the way some people do things for God, for people, is as if you are reserving the energy for something else. But if you put 100%, the something else that you are thinking you are reserving energy for, you have enough energy again after you are putting 100% in what you are doing now. I want us to bow down our heads and I want you to pray. After the prayer, I'm going to ask that the ushers will pass a sign-up sheet where people will sign up for areas that they can serve. Serving God is serving people. Service is greatness. We don't become great because we show up. We don't become great because we say we want to become great. We become great because we serve. I want you to ask God, God, where can I serve you? Or where can I serve you better? Some of us are serving in this church. Some of us are serving outside of this church. We have family members. We serve here and there. But God may be calling us to something better, something bigger, something more deeper. Will you ask him to show you, Lord, which area can I apply myself? I don't want to be useless. I want to be useful. I want to pour my heart. I want to pour all of my love into that thing which you have called me into. Show me the areas to serve. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Lord, we give ourselves to you this morning. And we ask that you will take us. We ask that you open our eyes to opportunities in our world. And help us to fill those void for you. Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen.